I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Game Makers, a Ubisoft podcast. I'm Charles Adam Foster Simard. In this series, we're taking a closer look at the music and sounds of Ubisoft games, talking with the people who work behind the scenes to make the audio of our games come to life. Music plays a huge part in video games, and in my experience, if a game has powerful music, it will stay with you a long time after the game is over, reminding you of the characters, places, and events you've come to know so well. That's the idea behind Assassin's Creed Symphony, a multimedia concert combining an 80-piece live orchestra and choir with footage from over a decade of Assassin's Creed games. The concert features iconic tracks from composers like Jesper Kidd, Austin Wintry, Brian Tyler, Sarah Schachner, The Flight, and many more. To help me reminisce about the beautiful music from the Assassin's Creed games, and to know more about how he was able to select and rearrange the music from the games for a symphonic orchestra, I spoke with Ivan Lin, who is the musical director of the Assassin's Creed Symphony World Tour, and one of the conductors on the tour. Ivan is also an accomplished pianist and has quite a bit of experience with video game music. He played on the soundtrack of Final Fantasy XV, Final Fantasy XIII, and other live video game concerts, such as the Legend of Zelda Tour, Symphony of the Goddesses, and the Kingdom Hearts World Tour. I reached Ivan Lin over Skype in his studio in Boston. How did you get into this kind of niche of video game music originally? Because as you said, you worked on several projects that were based on video game music, be it soundtracks or live experiences. Were you always interested in video games and video game music?
So this was totally a coincidence because I was a more of a classically trained pianist when I lived in Germany before moving to the States. And when I was in Germany studying piano, I always figured that I wanted to try something different, that I didn't want to stay all the time with classical music, even though I love classical, like symphony, concerto, and sonatas. But I think it's a good way to express myself and to explore what the music can be so powerful by engaging with people. And that's why I noticed it's a such interesting way to spot music like film music, video game music, and media, multimedia, electronic music. And as soon as I landed in Boston, I got a phone call from one of my friends that a video gaming group was trying to find a keyboardist for their rock band because they were trying to having a public music performance associated with a program that has a lot of video game soundtracks in it. And I found it quite interesting. So that's what I said, yeah, sure. Why don't we do this? As soon as I started doing video gaming concert, instantly I noticed a huge difference between the classical audience and video game audience from the franchise. So I figure that was probably something that I've been looking for, which is engaging with the audience, with people, by creating and performing music that they are sort of crazy about. and that's why I started doing all these projects, and we recorded for I remember that was our first project, recording for Final Fantasy 13, number 3, Lightning Returns. And so that was where the story began, and that's how it developed. have been landed where I am right now, working with a video game industry.
So you said that the audience was different. Is it a question of kind of feedback and energy when you're getting that excitement from the audience listening to the music that they know?
But for video game music, a lot of times it's about sharing music with the franchise, and they appreciate it, especially when you are in a live concert. And as you said, the energy, it's so much different from performing a classical concert, because it was obvious to see the feedback from the audience. They couldn't wait to give it applause. They couldn't wait to scream. They couldn't wait to be emotional. I oftentimes saw a lot of people crying during the concert, and that's
wow.
Yeah, and that's something that you don't see a lot when performing a classical program. When I was on board to this project, I didn't expect to become the music director. And it was literally when I was touring with Kingdom Hearts production, it was around the E3 period. So after the concert, I was walking around, and that's where the producer of Assassin's Creed Symphony, Massimo Galota from NGP Live, we encountered each other. And because we got to know each other from a Legend of Zelda concert tour, We recognize each other instantly and asked, so why we are doing here at E3. And apparently he was looking for some future partners to produce the show. And I was literally walking around with friends trying to play some games in advance. So he asked me, so Ivan, you were with us for Legend of Zelda concert tour, and do you write music? So I said, oh, of course, I write music, so what's up? And he said, oh, so I've got some secret project going on, so let's keep in touch and all that. And as soon as I'm back in Boston and he was back in New York, I quickly learned that the secret project he was referring to was Assassin's Creed Symphony. So he asked me to be on board and rewrite all the music from Assassin's Creed. So this is literally how it started.
So you were just hanging out at the LACC after you were done with your show, just like wanting to try out some games. And then the producer, you just happened to see the producer whom you knew and struck up a conversation. And he was like, oh, maybe you'd be a good person to do this new project.
Exactly. And it happened so quickly, and he didn't even request me to send in any demo. And it was all set by that 1 minute long conversation back in LA. So here I am.
So did you know about had you played the Assassin's Creed games before? Did you know about the games?
So I started to play from Syndicate, but okay. I started to know the game when my roommate played Black Flag. And I was, at the time, I was a student at Yale University, and I was quite amazed by the gameplay, the music, and the gaming experience. So I started to talk to my roommate at the time, and I quickly learned that it's such an interesting game. So I started to play from Syndicate and Origins, and of course, the latest Odyssey. I'm sort of late, but I'm not entirely outside of this franchise.
Obviously, you said you participated in kind of writing the music. Did you also help choose the songs and the different excerpts that are featured in the show?
Oh, yes, I almost did everything. So this is the process. I received a presentation from our creative consultant. And on that presentation, I did see some of the most famous tracks, like Ezio's Family.
Right.
So I started from there. And after that, I received the entire track list from Ubisoft that consists of all the soundtracks for Assassin's Creed. So I literally went through all of them, which was a lot.
So you listened to the entire soundtracks of all the games?
Exactly. That's
how do you remember how many hours that is?
I didn't remember, but I'm pretty sure it took me probably tens of hours just to go through everything, because it was a lot, and the goal wasn't to just listen through the music, but you need to select music from all the tracks. So I needed to take a lot of notes and trying to figure out what would be the best for the franchise when they come to see the concert. So it was a huge process, but it didn't take us a lot of time, because for me, for the music department, it was literally 3.5 months of finishing everything, writing the score.
Oh, wow.
And get this around 400-page thick full score ready. And it's if you get to see the concert score, it's like a near size. It's like reading a newspaper, only 400 pages. So it's a lot of stuff in there.
So what was the process like? What did you give yourself as a guiding principle in order to find the right excerpts from the soundtracks? Did you try to get the most iconic bits or represent a little bit every game? Or how did you go about choosing those excerpts?
I remember there was only one goal for the music department to achieve, which is do not make the music sound like it's a lot of pieces putting together, because it's a symphonic project happening within 120 minutes. And I'm pretty sure people don't want to see a lot of confusing pieces put in together in this 2-hour long program. So what was the most important is that we need to create a concert score that would be incredibly organic, so that it's like you are entering and being part of this journey. And naturally, you would see the story and how the music along with the storyline would develop. So it's quite different from simply reorganizing the track list from the original soundtrack. It's sort of recreating this concert score based on the original soundtrack. So it's not exactly the same as what an audience would expect, because I've been talking to a lot of friends, and when they see the concert, after the concert, they always told me that it's kind of new, but it's quite nostalgic, and along with the video, they are experiencing something new, yet bringing back a lot of memories. So that's the only goal when we try to reproduce the music. We try to give the audience, the franchise, a complete package instead of things here and there and not quite organized.
Can you give me an example of maybe an excerpt or a piece of music or a little bit of one of the songs that you had to adapt or modify in any way to make it fit into that bigger organic experience?
So for instance, the very first movement that the orchestra will be playing during the show is literally a mixture of everything from the original soundtracks of Assassin's Creed. It contains music from AC2, AC3, Black Flag, Origins, and of course Ezio's Family. But the thing is that we wanted to introduce to the audience the entire set that's organically organized. So when you come to the concert, it's as the opening, the curtain of the theater, where the drums started to play and you hear the motif, the melody of soundtracks composed by Jesper Keith. Then it moves on to Brotherhood, then AC3 by Lauren Balfe, then Black Flag by Brian Tyler. So it's developing all the music composed for Assassin's Creed from AC1 to AC Odyssey is one single piece. And it wasn't easy to make it happen, because each episode does have their very own character. So it was sort of magical to see when the concert is being performed, you actually see this concert to be an entire one single large-sized symphony instead of original soundtracks from different composers. So it's definitely such a surprise and a beyond expectation to see this work coming to life along with music and video all together. It's so surreal. I have to say, the first time when I saw this project come to life, I almost cried because you literally see something that you worked so hard come to life.
Obviously, the settings of the Assassin's Creed games vary wildly. You know, there's the Third Crusade and 18th century pirates and ancient Greece and Egypt, and even Industrial Revolution London. So they all have really different strong styles and different atmospheres. How are you able to make those different atmospheres come together in a show where it's not totally dissonant? Does that just happen because you have the same orchestra playing, so you don't need to think about it too much? Or do you need to make adjustments so that it's relatively smooth and whole?
We're talking about a symphony orchestra, a rock band, and a choir. So the instrumentation is set. And what we were trying to work on is that we need to use this instrumentation the best and the most out of it, so that this would work as different culture and different kinds of style in music. And oftentimes I talk to my friends about the music from Odyssey because it's related to Greece. And the thing is that we didn't need to literally use a Greek instrument like lute or other ancient instruments from Greece. So the trick is that if you sort of dig into the orchestration, literally the combination of different instruments would create different sounds that would make it sound really like folk tunes and folk music. For Syndicate as well, for Origins, definitely, because we were trying our best to bring this entire epic music that's talking about Egypt together. So we also used electric guitar and rock band to emphasize the character.
Did you feel that you were able to put your own stamp on some of the music or give it a different spin sometimes when you rewrote it?
Oh, so I hope for this podcast, not many people would hear this, but yes, I put a lot of new stuff into the concert score. And fortunately, not a lot of people would be able to notice that because it's sort of hidden in here and there. But that's the secret sauce to make the symphony become so energetic and so catchy. People would be impressed because it's our secret. But yes, to answer your question, in short, yes, we did put a lot of new stuff into.
So there's a little bit of Ivan Lin sprinkled between the Jesper Kid and the Sarah Schachner.
Yes, and I hope you don't tell your audience.
it'll be our secret. Can you talk a little bit about some of the tricks that you use to be able to convey, like you mentioned, so using electronic music or electric guitar for Bayek? For example, for Odyssey, did you find any tricks to be able to recreate some of the instruments that the flight used to do that kind of folksy ancient Greek music?
There was a part where it was the main theme for Odyssey. I remember I was trying to imitate the sound of lute. And instead of using a lute on stage, I literally used harp and flute and acoustic guitar. And it's kind of funky to try to imagine how the outcome would come true. But at the end, this mixture creates the sound that would really make you think it's a lute being played on the stage. And because the original soundtrack of Odyssey was sort of like folk tune oriented, and it made it perfect to do it that way.
So you mentioned, of course, Ezio's Family, which was written by Jesper Kidd for Assassin's Creed 2, and I think it's been reused in almost or nearly almost every Assassin's Creed game since in one way or another. Obviously it's a very iconic piece of music, and I'm sure that it has a big place in Assassin's Creed Symphony. According to you, what about that piece of music makes it so special and so resonant? Why did it immediately become so iconic for the, not just for the game that it was in, but for the entire series, actually?
First of all, the melody line is pretty simple. It's catchy. And when it is being played, when you play the game, it repeats itself a lot of times, and especially when you are game over, you need to come back and play that again. I remember I was talking to Jesper Kidd in Paris during the world premiere of this concert tour. We talked about why this music has become so iconic to this franchise. And actually, he didn't expect Ezio's Family to be so popular like what it is today. But I guess for an artist or a composer like Jesper Kidd, at the time, he was trying to express the character for this game. So as a result, not only that, we didn't expect Ezio's Family to become this popular, but also it has become so iconic throughout the entire series of Assassin's Creed. So it's catchy, and it's quite simple to understand. It's nothing complicated, and it tells a story behind those pretty simple 8 notes that would form the shape of Ezio's Family. So I guess this is also the magic of music, that you wouldn't expect people to be receiving the music this way.
I just have one more question, actually. Going back on Ezio's Family, did you try to incorporate it in the show in a special way, or did you try to give it a special place in the show since it's so present in the different games?
So Ezio's Family is everywhere throughout the show. It's just that you wouldn't obviously spot those places because, again, it's the magic of the music where it sort of brings you a lot of memories back when you play the video games. So it's everywhere. It's just that you don't even notice it's everywhere because it's hidden sometimes in the very deep part in this orchestra.
Is there a specific moment in the show or a particular piece of music from all the AC soundtracks that speaks to you personally or that you have a particular fondness for?
Definitely Black Flag.
Because that's the first game you played, probably?
Yes. And it's also hard to explain why it's so powerful to me, probably because I love this kind of music, like talking about pirates and free soul so much. So I guess it speaks to my heart, and I feel the connection when I rewrote the music for Black Flag.
Thank you so much for taking the time. Do you want to say a few words? I don't know. Do you have any projects coming up? I know that there are a few more dates of the tour. Do you have any other exciting projects that you can talk about that are coming up for you?
So this year, we pretty focused on Assassin's Creed Symphony, and we're going to finish the first year very soon. In the meantime, stay tuned on some of the Netflix and HBO shows, because that's our next project.
Oh, well, that sounds really exciting. So we'll look out for your credits there and for your hopefully hear your music very soon.
Sure thing.
So thanks a lot, Ivan.
Thank you so much, Charles.
That's all for this episode. I'm Charles Adam Foster Samard. This episode was edited by Manu Bechet. If you want to see Ivan in action, you can watch a video excerpt from Assassin's Creed Symphony, which was played live on stage during Ubisoft's E3 conference in 2019. We'll put the link in the episode description. To know more about the tour, visit assassinscreedsymphony.com. There are additional dates scheduled in the UK, Barcelona, and Toronto in 2020. For more from Game Makers, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.